You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen. The headline from the Washington Post reads, climate change is a top spiritual priority for these religious leaders. It has quote after quote from various religious leaders who meet together occasionally, sometimes as individuals, sometimes in climate change groups, and they want to prioritize how the church responds to climate change, to the claims of climate change, not only as individuals, but as an entire church. What is our stance? If we are going to follow Scripture's direction, what is our stance toward the world we live in? Joining us to talk about this Washington Post story, titled Climate Change is the Top Spiritual Priority for These Religious Leaders, Dr. Cal Beisner. He's founder and national spokesman of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, and author of the book Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate. Cal, welcome back.
Thanks very much. Great to be back with you.
Does the Bible permit a kind of Christian indifference toward the earth, its resources, its climate?
No, I certainly don't think it does. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that moves on the face of the earth. That certainly doesn't sound like indifference to me. Now, what some people might be thinking is, can we be indifferent about issues of, say, pollution, a degradation of the earth? No, I don't think that we can do that, because the kind of dominion that we're supposed to have over the earth is a dominion that reflects God's own dominion. He made us in his image and has appointed us to be his representatives, so to speak, on the earth. And so our dominion should reflect his own. And what we learn about his own in the earlier part of Genesis chapter 1 is that God made everything out of nothing. He made light out of darkness. He brought order to chaos. He brought greater order to less order. He brought life out of non-life. And he made a variety of life and gave every variety of life a great fertility. And so we see that God favors light and life and variety and beauty and all of these things. So our calling as believers under God, and frankly the calling of all humanity, is to labor, the way I put it with the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, is to labor together to enhance the fruitfulness and the beauty and the safety of the earth to the glory of God and the benefit of our neighbors.
I'm reading from the Washington Post story here, Dr. Beisner, and this is the text of an address delivered in 1997 by Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I of Constantinople. And this is what he said back then in Santa Barbara. He said, "For humans to cause species to become extinct and to destroy the biological diversity of God's creation, for humans to degrade the integrity of the earth by causing changes in its climate, by stripping the earth of its natural forests or destroying its wetlands, for humans to injure other humans with disease, for humans to contaminate the earth's waters, its land, its air, its life with poisonous substances, these are sins." How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, in some respects, I could actually embrace some of what he says. I mean, for humans to contaminate the earth's waters, to injure other humans with disease, obviously those things would be contrary to the biblical instruction. For instance, the sixth commandment, at least as the Reformed world numbers them, the fifth as the Lutheran world does, that says, "You shall not murder." We obviously don't want to be doing things that are going to be harmful to others, but biologists estimate that well over 99% of all species that have ever existed have gone extinct through natural causes. So why is it then that a sin if humans cause an extinction? climate has changed naturally over and over throughout geologic history, with warmer and colder cycles, with wetter and drier cycles for the whole planet as well as for particular regions. Human action has changed local and even regional climates for centuries through urban heat island effect, irrigation, farming, transformation of land from forests or deserts to farms or settlements. All of those things result in changes in temperature, precipitation, and drought or flood, and those impacts have been going on for thousands of years. It's inevitable that they will do so. Well, what is sinful about that? Carbon dioxide is the alleged primary driver of global warming, anthropogenic, man-made global warming. Well, burning fossil fuels, making concrete, and deforestation are the primary reasons for its increase in the atmosphere from about 280 parts per million before the Industrial Revolution to about 410 parts per million today. Meanwhile, humans exhale carbon dioxide at a concentration of 40,000 parts per million with every breath. If carbon dioxide is a pollutant, then every human pollutes with every breath. And if all pollution is sin, then every human sins every time she exhales. Now, this is the absurdity to which the kind of language that Patriarch Bartholomew used leads. And what we have going on here is an example of what the Apostle Paul warned against in Colossians 2:20-23, where he said, "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they are used, "according to human precepts and teachings? These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. God revealed his law to us in the Ten Commandments, not the sum total of all environmental regulations issued by all the environmental protection agencies of all the nations and states of the world. These religious leaders would do the world a great deal more good if they would call their people to obedience to those Ten Commandments instead of passing whims of the environmental movement."
Would you consider, Cal, in its extreme form, environmentalism and kind of the scare over climate change a religion in and of itself?
Yeah, in its extreme form, yes. It has the idea of an original paradise in the world prior to the Industrial Revolution and the use of fossil fuels putting CO2 into the atmosphere and causing global warming. It has the fall into sin with our starting to use fossil fuels. It has a category of sins, a whole catalog of them. And these are all various different ways in which supposedly we sin against the earth. It also has taboos, and it has the way of salvation, which of course is that we must all embrace a highly ascetic life in which we renounce the use of fossil fuels, despite the fact that fossil fuels currently provide about 85% of all the energy humankind uses around the world. They lifted humankind out of universal poverty and the miseries of high rates of disease and premature death that came with it. This is kind of what you see in the whole global warming alarmist movement. And frankly, increasingly, this religious approach is replacing a very scientific approach regarding it, and I think that's because the scientific evidence increasingly points toward human influence on climate being quite minimal instead of quite large, and largely benign, and certainly not justifying spending literally trillions of dollars to try to reduce that influence.
What would you say to someone who, and this is probably quite common, who says, "Well, you're just saying that man plays no role whatsoever, that essentially no. Our climate is, and our environment is bulletproof." How would you respond to that?
Certainly that is not the case. I affirm that humankind does play a role in climate. In fact, earlier on in our conversation here, I rehearsed a number of different ways in which we've done it for literally thousands of years. What I am saying is that the best scientific evidence indicates that the warming effect of CO2 added to the atmosphere is much, much smaller than what people for a long time thought. This is the increasing result of empirical investigation, correcting the computerized climate models. The climate models simulate about 2 to 3 times as much warming as actually observed over the relevant period, and we can't eliminate natural causes as the causes of some or perhaps even all of that warming. And so the best empirical evidence, as distinct from computer climate models, which are basically sophisticated hypotheses, the best empirical evidence indicates that our CO2 additions probably do have some impact on global temperature, but it is so small that we cannot detect it, and it certainly is not going to be of any great danger to any ecosystems or to human well-being, whereas the benefits that we get from fossil fuels are enormous.
What is the danger, then, of religious leaders, as they have in the past, and this in particular comes from Pope Francis, talking about climate change being a challenge of epochal proportions? He speaks in kind of quasi-religious terms about it and draws conclusions about the world's economy that is greed unleashed, characterizing the things that move human activity as purely sinful. What's the danger of that kind of characterization?
Well, I think there are a number of different dangers involved with it. The first one that came to my mind as you asked the question was that these people compromise their credibility because very clearly the empirical scientific evidence is pointing away from what they're saying. If they had said this 15 years ago, I'd have found it more plausible. But the best empirical evidence is going the other direction. I also think that what they're doing is they're trying to assert spiritual authority over a material issue, and they don't have the expertise on that material issue that they really need in order to speak authoritatively. Again, that compromises their credibility. And, credibility is a very valuable thing for religious leaders to have. They need to be good stewards of it.
Cal Beisner is founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. He's author of the book, Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate. You'll find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Cal, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks very much to you as well, and the Lord bless your continued work.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the movie Jurassic World, Fallen World, from Pastor Ted Geese, and we'll discuss alleged racism in the Little House on the Prairie book series with Holly Shear of The Federalist. We've been placed on this earth, fallen as we are and fallen as it is, still as stewards. We are never instructed by Scripture to adopt an alarmist attitude toward these things, but as good stewards, to continue to trust in what God has given and continues to give through His good creation. I'm Todd
Listen
Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
To Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.